The city of Phoenix and the Phoenix Suns continue to move forward on trying to reach an agreement on how to fund repairs for the team's home building, Talking Stick Resort Arena, downtown. Yesterday, the city released detailed information about the facility, and it also announced 5 public meetings that would give residents the opportunity to learn more and to give their opinions on what a future deal should look like. The initial proposal that the city council decided to delay a vote on saw the city paying $150 million, while the Suns were putting in $80 million. With me to talk about the possibilities and whether the Suns want to stay in downtown Phoenix is the team's president and CEO, Jason Rowley. Jason, how much of the proposed renovations have to do with the Suns staying competitive in the NBA, and how much is about the facility attracting other events like concerts?
They're both important, but you did hit on a very important part here, which is that the programming for the Suns is about 30% of the programming in the building overall. We do about between 130 to 140 ticketed events a year, another 200 or so non-ticketed events. One example I think is important for people to think about is the concerts, as an example. So concerts back when this building was built used to have a weight of about, you know, maybe 50,000 pounds was the amount of equipment they'd bring in. They would have to be hung from the rafters for their show. There are now shows out there. Drake was a good example that are coming in, you know, at like 150,000 to even 200,000 pounds. And our building simply cannot support the weight of that equipment. So there are shows that have had to pass by our market because this building can't support the weight. That is simply just one example. The building itself, the need to have the plumbing working, the electrical working, the HVAC, the air conditioning working, that doesn't matter whether you're having a Suns game, a Mercury game, a Globetrotters game, or Cirque du Soleil. It's the same for every one of those. And what we've been able to avoid over this almost 3-decade period is we've never had a showstopper to date. And that is really what we're facing now. We're getting close to the point where literally we came very close on our opening night for our Suns opening home opener this year. Had a problem with our electrical system that almost got us to a point where literally we got it figured out about half an hour before tip.
Wow.
And we were able to move forward with it with the game. Ultimately, things just wear out.
So now we're at a point where the Suns are trying to negotiate with the city to figure out what to do next, how much money is needed, and who's going to pay for it. And there's been a little bit of a backlash. There was a delayed city council vote on that.
Correct.
In terms of how do we weigh the paying there. Talk about the funding a bit. How much is needed? And, you know, we're in an environment now, generally, where people are thinking, hey, these owners are billionaires.
Right.
Cities aren't going to build them anymore. So now there's renovation in this case. What is a balance that makes sense to you?
Sure. And that's a very fair question. And I think that the key to people understanding that piece of the overall deal is kind of twofold. One is understanding who owns the building. It is a city-owned facility, not a Suns-owned facility. So if the Suns weren't here at all, like it or not, the city still has a building that has, up to this point, about $230 million invested in it from the Suns and the city, mm-hmm. and needs a similar amount going forward. And where we have arrived at that number, we haven't just pulled it out of a hat. Obviously, we've had architects, we have had electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, structural engineers, cost estimators come in and do a complete work and analysis of what the building needs. So it's not like we're just kind of picking these things out of thin air and deciding that $230 million sounds great. We would rather not have to spend anything. That'd be terrific because the fact of the matter is, yeah, if you build a new building, you're going to get a big lift in your revenue. This is essentially something that is where we just have to put the money in to keep it going as is. And sure, we make great revenue off of the building as the city does, and the city is a partner in that revenue as well, from the rent we pay to the taxes we pay. And the additional taxes that are generated from the businesses that surround us. So there is that economic benefit. The $150 million that the city is proposed to put in under this deal, so the way it's structured, and you can go see the term sheet, I would ask people, frankly, to go to it's Phoenix, www.phoenix.gov/arena, and there is a complete description and workup and fact page that gives the entire history of the arena, the history of our deal right now, the history of our existing lease, and the specifics of the transaction that we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. So under those terms, it's proposed that the city puts in $150 million of funds that come from the Sports and Facilities Fund that was originally created back in 1989 for this exact purpose. That fund was created by taxing hotels and rental cars from tourists who come here. So the residents of Phoenix, you know, unless you're doing a staycation or renting a car because you have family coming in, the vast majority of the dollars that go into repairing the arena and that went into the original construction in terms of the city's component come from this sports and entertainment or sports facilities fund that's funded by tourist dollars, not by taxes on residents of Phoenix. That's very important for people to understand. The other piece is obviously dollars that we would be funding, which is $80 million of our own cash, plus paying anywhere from, we're not sure what the exact amount will be, but somewhere between $30 million to $50 million in a new practice facility that is off-site. The other part that's very, very important that I want people to very much understand is that the dollars the city is putting in, the $150 million they're putting in, is going solely to the infrastructure, structural, electrical, plumbing, mechanical, all the pieces that are part and parcel to the true functioning of the building. The pieces that are more fan-facing and fan amenity-based and revenue-generating based in terms of hospitality, club spaces, new VIP areas, improvements in corner bars in the upper concourse and lower concourse, all of these things that we're looking to do from a fan amenity standpoint, we are paying for that. The Suns are paying for that.
So coming up soon after the new year, be five public meetings City of Phoenix is putting on. The first one's actually going to be a Talking Stick arena. What are your expectations for that in terms of, is this going to be a thick skin situation where you expect to get teed off? Do you expect to get some big questions?
As an organization, I will take complete responsibility for the fact that we didn't get out ahead of this on the front end. This is the process that we've gone through to get to this point has been about 3 years of negotiation. We, the Suns, probably should have done a better job being forceful about getting the message out beforehand to discuss this, because it's fair for people to ask, why are we putting dollars, public dollars, into this building? Are we taking away from police? Are we taking away from fire? Are we taking away from road repairs and other critical pieces to put it into a building? And I expect those kind of questions, and they're fair to be asked, and there's nothing wrong with people asking them. I'm actually glad that we're having the opportunity now to be clear about how the arrangement works. I would want people to focus on the issue at hand rather than you know, demonizing Robert Sarver or coming and complaining about the direction of the team, which are all people are fair to criticize all they want, but that's not really what this is about. Yeah. This is a city building that is city owned, that if we are not able to reach a deal, the way the deal works, our existing deal, if we can't come to an arrangement on an extension of our deal, the way our existing deal works is in July of 2019, we go to arbitration. And at that point, an arbitrator will say how much the building is going to need. And at that point, whatever dollar amount they say, the city pays that amount and we don't pay any of it.
There are going to be some people who will listen and they will say, are the Suns in some ways, based on the July 19 and talking about, is the city going to get caught with paying for everything? Is there like a veiled warning?
Or threat? So
exactly. Because in this sense that, and we will clear up the fact that no one has ever said the Suns are going to leave Arizona.
Right.
That's a fact.
Correct.
But there are people who will say, okay, the Cardinals, who, by the way, to that point had not had nearly the success the Suns had had, have a huge arena, or a huge stadium rather, out kind of in the middle of nowhere to a lot of people. The Suns would have options like that too. No doubt there are deep-pocketed people who would say, oh, you're going to leave downtown. We'd love to have you. Why is it staying downtown important?
Our owner, number one, is highly committed to downtown. You're talking about an individual who, during the recession, moved his bank headquarters down here. He was one of the biggest lenders in real estate in downtown Phoenix during the recession when nobody else was doing it. I think if you look at the city as a whole, the most logical in terms of it's centrally located, it's convenient to a large degree for everybody, no matter where you're coming from the city, if you're north, south, east, west, wherever. Again, I want to see a downtown that's vibrant. You're seeing all that activity happening down there with the residential being built up and a new Fry's going in right across the street from us. None of that would have happened without the arena going in and then Chase Field coming in, you know, 10 years later. I don't want to see us take a step back. If we can't get a deal done, do we have to look at our other options? And that means here in Arizona, and we've been very clear about that, or here in the Valley, very clear about that. Of course we do. But our focus has not been, we haven't even looked at those options, because our focus has been for the last 3 years and will continue to be getting something done in downtown Phoenix.
Jason Rowley is president and CEO of the Phoenix Suns. Jason, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.